Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I'm asking this morning for the Holy Spirit to come forward to give us a better revelation, Father, of this Thy Word, and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive so that we can, Father, receive Thy Word and the truth of it, Father, so that we not be deceived. Now by mankind, Father. Now be with us throughout this morning in our study, giving us that which we need. And I'm asking all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the sixth chapter of John, the Gospel of John. Give you a moment to get there. This chapter is 71 verses long. We probably are not going to make it all the way through today. We might, because I don't have to do a lot of teaching here, because the Lord Jesus, our Savior, is doing the teaching in this chapter. Now, as we get started here, open your heart and your mind. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now, this name, this sea, Tiberias, John is the only gospel writer to call this sea Tiberias. It is following the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, the Sea of Galilee was renamed Tiberius after Tiberius Caesar, who ruled A.D. 14-37. And after they destroyed Jerusalem, the city was renamed. Now, two. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish is the only miracle included in all four of the Gospels. Now, all of the Gospels record more miracles, different miracles and things. But that was the only miracle that is included, obviously, in all four of them. See, these writers wrote what was being given to them, and everything is true and all. And we come down mainly similar in all things, but there were some things left out of some of them and something different to that. Now, three, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Five. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Yes, he always knows. Because you see, the Lord knows it all. And he knows everything you and I think, and everything we do. Can't hide nothing from him. And one day when we step out of this life and into the next, you'll know that what I've told you is so. But like I said, you'll know you don't hide nothing from me. Now, seven. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Eight, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Well, they're about to find out. Now, you see, there's things you and I need to find out, because we don't put enough faith in the Lord our God. We get the idea, well, he may do this or that for someone else, but he won't do it for me. That's not true. His promises here in the Word of God is for everyone that will accept it. But as man and his carnal ways and his thoughts Most just will not believe that. But there's time coming in each of our lives that we're going to have to stand before Him. I'm asking you this, how is it that you want to stand there? You want to stand there knowing that you're all light and knowing that you are there because you are supposed to be? Or do you want to stand there in fear because you know there was things you were supposed to have done that you did not do? Now, this penny's worth bread he's telling you that these 200 pennies worth wasn't enough. 200 denarii was 200 days' wages. The denarius, which is a penny, was the average day's wage of a working man. We couldn't get by on that today, could we? Because that penny ain't worth anything. Our penny ain't. That's the lowest of our money. And really today, there was a time you could go into a grocery store and you could buy a sucker for a penny. But you can't even do that anymore. Now, yes, we use pennies, but they're not worth much. They're in ten. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now this was just the men. And you see, they was women and children with them. So we really don't know how many there was there. Because we're not given that. 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes as much as they would. 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You don't want anything lost, but also it is to let them see what has been accomplished. 13. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now they're proclaiming him to be a prophet. Seeing when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now, he's getting alone because he knew what they was wanting done and planning on doing with him. But he also knew why. We'll find that out in just a little bit, whether he knew about that or not. Now, 16. When evening was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus did not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." They really hadn't recognized who it was. They just seen this one out there walking on the water, and they are afraid. 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. 22. You know, the day following, people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Now, people knew he hadn't got on the boat with them. 23, howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. Now, you see, they're doing all this traveling, trying to find him, seeking out. 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, camest thou hither?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Well, we know the food was scarce back then, and those that would follow him for days without eating, unless he fed them. Now, 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him that God the Father seeth. Now he's letting them know, don't just labor for that meat in which you are eating, a physical food, but seek out the spiritual food. In other words, the things of the Spirit and the things of Almighty God. That's what we are to be seeking for. And God will take care of the other. But we must come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he will see to our needs. He'll make a way for us. But we have to be following him. And You say, well, how can we really follow him? By his word. That's why we have the Holy Bible. That is life or death. And the word itself tells us that. And it's that Jesus tells us to study. And lets us know that we are to live by the word of God. But so many of us don't want to do that. Because we've got other things on our mind. Other things that we want to do to us is more important. But when we get there with him and we're standing before him and we find out that we've made the wrong things important, we're going to know and then it's too late. You see, that's something you and I cannot on our own. It takes the Word of God. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. And it takes the Holy Spirit in order for us to become that born-again child of the living God. And that is the only way we can make heaven our home. Because without being born again, we can't enter into heaven. Oh, now, Pastor, that's not true. Yeah. I'm afraid it is. But, you know, so many, when you tell them that, they just don't want to believe it. But you know, when you look at John chapter 3, which we just went through the other day, some of you wasn't with us, but it told you. There in chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, and he's talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus, he, here in verse 2, he came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Then he goes on explaining other things about it. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You see, there are those around us that when we are born of the Spirit don't understand us. Most don't want us around. And they really most of them don't make any bones about it. They let you know. But they just rather you not bother them at all. Not me there. But we have a work to do. Because they are the ones that we should be sharing the word with. Now, but also, we as the children of God are to share the word with each other. Why? So that we can all grow in faith to where we can do more for the Lord our God than what we are doing. And we get this knowledge that we need to do the work from the Bible, but we also, from the Bible, the knowledge of what we need to be doing. So you see, it takes the Word of God for you and I to receive both. The tools we need to do the work and the knowledge of knowing what to do. Because you see, when we study the Word of God, God talks to us. And he lets us know what he wants of us as we study his word. The Holy Spirit will talk to you from the inside. He talks to you through the heart and through the word as you're reading and as you're hearing the word. He lets you know exactly what that means. Now, here 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Oh, you see there comes an answer. 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ first of all. 30, and they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? 31. Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. But boy, are they asking things. Now 32. Then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Now this true bread from heaven he's talking about here, is that bread different from the bread that Moses had prayed about and God gave from heaven? Yes. Because the bread he's talking about here is himself. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. You see, he tells us himself there where that bread and who and what that bread is. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. But so many of us reject it because we will not listen to him and his word. And we can sit and read it and read it and read it and read it, and we keep rejecting it and rejecting and rejecting. And we get to the point to where we understand nothing. Now, 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. See, they're not understanding anything he's saying. And this is the way a lot of us are today. We can sit and read God's word and not understand the word of it. They're being told that, these things. They're hearing the words. And yet, they don't understand what is being told because they do not have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to give them the revelation of what is being said. Because they are, most of them are standing against the Lord Jesus Christ. 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Oh boy. Now, 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. They're there with him. And yet they won't believe in him. They won't, they don't accept him. They keep rejecting. And today they are really rejecting him. And we did even as a nation. We're living in a nation now that really God has more against than a lot of the third world nations that never believed in him. Because not only was the belief in God here, but he was blessing this nation greatly. And this nation allowed those in high places that had been filled with Satan and all of this evil in our government places, in the offices, and they have brought this evil upon this land. And they started by taking Jesus out of our schools. And you know, a lot of us, and especially those that are in years, sit back and let one woman, that did not even have any children in school. The child she had, which was a young lady, that was old enough to sit in a bar and drink beer with her. and they let her take prayer out of our schools. Think about this. And then things started going down and down from that. Satan had already started working within a lot of our churches, changing things there. Oh, now, Pastor. Now, yes. And I'll tell you something else. You see, I have watched the weakening of the churches down through the years. I'm not a young man. In September of last year, I turned 90 years old, and I was raised in the church. And in my younger years, and even through my early teen years, the preaching was nothing like it is now, because it was truth. And as the old saying goes, and I know you've heard older people say, back then we had preachers that preached fire and brimstone. Yes, we did. And they all preached the Bible. And it didn't matter which one of the Protestant churches you went to, they all taught the Word of God. But you see, Satan got in there and started changing things. And there was a time that all of our Protestant churches baptized in Jesus' name. That was another thing that was changed in a lot of our churches, to where they started baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That was John's baptism, we are told in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, to be baptized in Jesus' name. You see, John's baptism was for repentance. Now we go to the Lord Jesus Christ for repentance. Yeah, but Jesus, when he sent his disciples out there in Matthew, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yes, he did. And that's what they were supposed to do. Because, you see, the church age had not yet started. That change had not yet really come about. And they were still to do a lot of the things according to the law. But then, on that day of Pentecost in that upper room, when the Holy Spirit was sent back to us from heaven after Jesus went there, that's when the church age began. And he had been put in charge by Almighty God over everything. And things changed. And when Peter come out of that upper room and preached that message that he preached, at the end of it, they asked him, those that he was preaching to, was around 3,000. And they asked him, what must we do? He told them, he said, go and repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, things changed. That's why Christ came. He came to fulfill that law and to establish a new way for you and I. And the only way we're going to make heaven our home is by going through the Lord Jesus Christ. And doing what God wants us to do, and by sitting down and studying and learning His Word, so we'll know what to do, and fulfilling that plan of salvation according to Him. That's the way we become born again. And there's a lot of things that goes with that being born again. We've got the idea that we can be born again, a born again child of God, and still do everything our own way. And we don't have to put time in with Him. We can just go every once in a while. We don't have to really attend church and do it regular. We don't have to study His Word. We can just read it once in a while. Let me tell you something. There's coming a day when you're going to stand before Him and find out just how wrong you was, and then it's going to be too late. And you're going to wind up in hell and split that lake of fire wide open also. And that's His Word, not mine. I'm telling you, it's time. If you want to make heaven your home, you better wake up and get right with Him. And are you doing the things He told you to do? What things? A lot of things that He told us to do. That are you doing? Are you paying tithes? If you're not, in the eyes of God, you're a robber and a thief. Oh, no. Now, Pastor, you just wait. You're getting way off now. No. He don't need my money. No, He don't. You're right. He don't need it. Because He's got excess all the money. He knows how to get exactly what He needs and really what you need. But when you get the idea that you don't need to be doing these things, then really, it don't make any difference. You see, this is why Bible study is so important. Malachi, chapter 3. Verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the thief, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, a lot of us have trouble financially because we don't do the right thing and we don't pay tithes. A tenth of your earnings, that first tenth of your earnings belongs to God. And when we don't pay that, then he's not going to bless us. We are a robber and a thief in his eyes. But when we pay our tithes and we are living according to his word, and we have fulfilled that plan of salvation as set down to us in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he will see that we have what we need. I just read his promise to you, that he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you may not even be able to contain. Think about it. But most don't know. Oh, I need that. If I send in my tithes this month, or this week, or whatever, however you get paid, or what you do, or however your income comes in, a lot of us, it comes in a lot of different ways. But anyway, first tenth is his. And when we spend it, we're spending his money, not ours, but his. And he said, we're a robber and a thief. I just read it to you. But my word is his. There's a lot of things we need to change in the church today. Now, that's why this ministry is run like it's run. Because I do as God leads me to do. I'm not smart enough to do it any other way. It's all done by him. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we're going to have troubles. We're going to face trials and troubles and tribulations. But it's how we come through that. And how we bear up under these things. Now, we're going to get back into, if you're here, and get ready to cut off because we're just about out of time. All right, verse 37. Let's go to 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. That's where we left off. 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He's not going to turn you away if you go to him. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And we know that Jesus followed that by the study we've already done. 39. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Gonna raise it up again at the last day. 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We're going to stop here for this morning. I pray that all of you have received something from this message, this study this morning, and that you will walk stronger and closer with the Lord through this day. Well, I keep praying that we all learn something every day that will bring us stronger and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and to our Father, so that we can make heaven our home. Now, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we close your word, Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we are thankful for all of your blessings that you have given to each of us. And Father, help us to grow stronger each and every day. Grow closer to the Lord in every moment of our lives. And walk in accordance and in obedience of your word, Father, so that we have heaven made as our home through eternity. Our Father, we pray for Israel, pray for peace for them, but even more so, we pray, Father, that they all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. In this land of ours, Father, turn its back, walk away from thy blessing, Father, from thy ways, bringing upon our people. It's being brought, Father, by those that are evil sitting in our government offices, bringing things that is not so upon this land and the people of this land. Homosexuality is being told and accepted as just an alternate lifestyle. But Father, we know that's not so. We know that that is an abomination to you. Father, I pray that it becomes an abomination to the people here on this earth. Father, I pray that those that are evil in these high offices be replaced, and to be replaced with those, Father, that are your children, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that loves the church, loves your people and this land, that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those that are in my heart. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Millie, Sue Branson, James Taylor, Debbie and Daryl, my wife, myself, the Courtney and Shane. Father, and I pray for all of our churches. We know that we have a lot of need to repent and get back into the word of Almighty God as it is written and teach us the right way. Father, keep us throughout this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us all back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Father, I pray for all of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, Father. Now, Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, all. God bless. I pray you have a great, great day. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Have a good one now.